Hello everyone, welcome to Conmovida. This is a new podcast to make you feel, move, and create. My name is Carolina Caballero. I am from Colombia and I'm a dancer, psychologist, and a yoga instructor. This podcast is my way to share with you my reflections along the way as I grow as a professional. I have recently embarked myself into a journey with the intention to deepen my own practices, and I have been collecting great stories that will enrich our understanding of bodies, dance, movement, and life in general. My intention is that by sharing these words and stories with you, you can reflect also on your personal life and bring lots of creativity into your own world. I believe that if we can all live more in touch with our own bodies and expressive movement, we can create more meaningful lives and thus contribute to make this entire world a better place. Well, that being said, I'm here for the second time trying out my English because normally I speak in Spanish, but today I have a very, very special guest to introduce to you. She's Deborah DiCenta. She's a dance artist from Italy who is based in Australia right now. We met back in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia at the dance festival I attended last July. And Deborah was there doing the festival with me. She danced, performed herself, but she was also teaching her scaffolding process workshop. At the festival, I couldn't be part of the workshop because I was taking another classes. But after that, in Singapore, I had the opportunity to participate in a one-time session she was offering for another dance company in the city. So luckily, I got the chance to spend more time and have this brilliant conversation with her about dance and her scaffolding process. Please let me welcome Deborah to Conmovida, this new podcast to make you feel, move, and create.
Right. Well, thank you very much for having me here. It's such a special opportunity for me to be sharing with you and all the people that will be sharing with us and listening to this and other interviews that you're collecting around the world. Well, you asked me to introduce myself a little bit. Nowadays I am defining myself as an independent dance artist. This description, it's very generic, but at the same very specific, because it gives me a sense of identity and it's very open at the same time. I am independent because I work on my own. I collaborate in projects. I sometimes am employed by institutions or art galleries or dance schools or universities or private people. But I always decide what I want to do, and I am self-employed. So here is the independent part. Dance, second word, because I work in the dance realm. But dance for me, it's almost a limitation of the word itself, because in the last 10 years I've developed and rediscovered and deepened the idea of dance in terms of human movement. So anyway, dance helps people to understand what kind of movement I am looking after. And artist, dance and movement in dance is a real important art form, and it's important for us to celebrate it, acknowledge it, and to name it as it is, because dance is art. And in our society, I think we need more dance.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Deborah, if you could tell us a little bit more about where you come from in terms of the dance, your dance background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have a classical ballet training background in Russian technique, Vaganova, that I start practicing since the age of 7 years old. And I keep practicing still now, every now and then, because that's my first love. But I remember I was dancing since the age of 2.5, 3. as I have some pictures from my childhood where one of my first Christmas gifts was from my auntie and she gave me point shoes and I managed to wear them. So that's the base, and I start training at the age of 6 or 7 years old. Then from the age of 11, I was quite talented in this private dance school that I was going in North Italy, where I come from. My teacher, who was also the director of the school, really saw something in me. And even though I was really young, I accessed the contemporary classes that at that stage were modern dance technique. And that was Graham technique. And so I studied really the core and fundamentals of that technique for many, many years until the age of 30 almost. I think these two elements are my foundation in dance. I've been also teaching dance for several years. Between the age of 23, 24 till 30 years old, and I was teaching ballet, and that has allowed me to study in Milan with the teacher of the Scala di Milano and get a diploma as ballet teacher for first, second and third academic level. In between, I always practice jazz, lyrical, hip-hop, and so I have kind of a varied understanding of dance. But my main cores are the first two techniques that I've mentioned. And then I remember while I was teaching in Italy, I met a wonderful teacher from London, and she inspired me so much that I understood that I wanted more from dance, and I wanted more from myself, and to become more independent. So going back to that word that defines me, to have more of a personal voice on movement, dance practice and teaching practice and performing practice. So I decided to go to London and I studied at Trinity Laban College of Dance and Music. And that experience really opened my world. Before that, of course, I did many other workshops and classes, and I studied with fantastic dancers and ex-étoile and great jazz dancers, contemporary dancers, but they were always small workshops where we would dig in for a 1 month maximum. So yeah, so London was the revelation, and I've been there for 3 years, and there after my studies in dance I went further and I've learned more about human movement, because one day I was really thinking, I want to know about movement, human movement. So in my path at Laban, I encountered other wonderful teachers, and they inspired me to become a choreologist, which is what I am. I studied the logics of human movement applied into dance and performative aspects from a Laban perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's a contemporary development. So I've done 3 years of course and studies, and that was so enriching that has changed the way I see movement now, and I experience movement in my daily life and when I teach or when I dance.
Yeah. So why don't you tell me a little bit more about your experience in Australia, where you are based right now, right?
Yes. Yeah. So after London, I went back to Italy for a while, for a few years, and I collaborated there and with other artists and things. But then I still had this jolly card in my pocket. Mm-hmm. The fact that I am so lucky to have a dual citizenship. Apart from my Italian citizenship, I have the Australian. And this is because of my mother, who was born there and gave me and my sister this option, which nowadays, with all this change of economy in the world, it's a very useful option. So I always knew I wanted to go to Australia, visit Australia. I went when I was very young, and then I never decided to go back there. Mm-hmm. But after London, after going back to Italy, I knew the time was right for me to explore further and to explore this Australia, this Ausland.
Yeah.
And so in 2015, I left Italy to go to Australia. And so Australia is has helped me, as any trip I think will help anyone, to understand myself better and also to challenge myself. Because changing context, changing culture, changing language, it's a has a, always a huge impact on a person. So I am discovering that Australia has enabled me to become more independent, especially economically, and has given me a lot of work in dance, but more rather than performative, which I still do enough, but more of the needs that I find in Australia more related to community dance. And so I found myself working a lot in non-professional environment as well as pre-professional and connecting in a different level in the world of dance that I never expected before. So that was, is a bit of a surprise, but at the certain time is actually a confirmation that dance is for all, and this is my motto, dance for all. And that I maybe have a role in this society for everyone to be enabled to move and express themselves. So
you have found a way to contribute at the same time. How have that impacted your vision of dance, like working with the community?
I think it has enriched something that I was already doing actually after Laban. I really have to go back to this change of perspective to when I went to London, because London is very developed, like UK is very beyond in community dance, very much, as well as in dance, like the support of the arts is much stronger. So I understood that more conceptually when I was there studying more, but still more connected to choreography and performance. When now I am finding myself now in Australia, I think that is becoming more clear because I am in the field. And I believe that
you come from a very traditional like
path. But now it's going into something that it's on a certain extent new for me, but that I do, I think, well enough because people is calling me to do that. Like I found myself being asked to make people dance and move. And in saying this, I am involved with the Dance for Wellbeing program, which is a 2 years founded by the government program at the Belconnen Arts Centre in Canberra, where I'm based. Canberra is the capital of Australia. And I've been working with wonderful colleagues, and we do Dance for Parkinson's, Dance for Dementia, Australia, and Dance for MS, Chronic Fatigue, Chronic Pain. And I also do my own classes that I've developed since 2015, since I was in Italy, classes for parents and children. And I call them Parents and Children Dance. And for me, that's another way to enrich childhood and family life through movement. So it is not learning a routine. I want to be very clear with this. It's about exploring movement together, working with making touch connection, pushing, pulling, having fun and games. So it's less traditional than what we think. And maybe I want to add another thing on this aspect. Since I got to Australia, and I started this already in London in 2009, but then it developed a little bit further in 2015 when I was in Italy, I got really connected with a form of dance that was not part of me since I had these big changes and became a bit more, let's say, international or moving a bit more in Europe. And the dance form that I'm talking about is improvisation and contact improvisation. As a dancer that I was very used to be you know, perfect in terms of the request of movement that you have to do, precise, technical, memorize a certain movement pattern and sequence. I've done that a lot for many, many years, almost 20. And then I reached the point where sometimes an artist has a crisis, or a learner, a person that learns something, has a phase where they want to deconstruct. Go completely at the opposite side. Mm-hmm. And I found an answer in content improvisation and improvisation, because they show the essence of movement. You can't predict what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And there's something pure in that. So again, because of my understanding of movement renewed by Laban perspective, because the fact of having had the chance to see movement with different eyes, when I start watching and embodying movement from improvisation and content improvisation, so in relationship with other bodies, with touch, with weight, is where I felt this is something I need more. So I am more in that realm. And content improvisation is such an interesting dance form, because it can be highly sophisticated, and it can be performed by professional dancers as well as everyone else. So I think there is that blend that I feel is more in tune with what I am, even though I really like when I see someone moving because they know what they're doing. Yeah. But at the same time, I saw normal people moving and felt moved by them even more, because that was very pure and unaffected by training. Because when we train a lot, sometimes we carry with us movement shadows, that's how you call them, way of moving that shows that there's something behind, which might be a technique, a posture, a way of moving. Yeah. So my interest is there, and it's reflected in my contemporary classes and in my workshops and in what I do, both for professional dance artists or theater people, as well as a community people.
Yeah.
So I have one language, and I apply that to everyone, because at the end, everyone is a human being. So,
and as human beings, we all can move, and then in those terms, we are all like dancers in a way.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if we think about dance in our culture, tribes have always danced.
Yes.
It's part of us, it's in our cellular memory, in our DNA. And as we have a body, and we are, you know, in this area, there's a lot of digital things, virtual reality. And I feel that at the moment, and probably for the rest of my life, because I know both sides, I was born where mobile phones were not existing. I am answering to virtual reality with actual reality. And actual reality is the embodiment of the now, which is also one of the titles of my last solo. Mm-hmm. Embodiment of the now. Being present, being in the body, and moving consciously is something we all need to do if we don't want to lose ourselves completely in the mind and in what is virtual. So if we have a body, we have to move it. Otherwise, there would be no reason for us to have a body. And in this society where there's too much technology and projection of thought, I think the best way for humans to stay grounded and not to lose themselves is through movement. Yeah. And one of the movement forms we have is dance. And that's where I stand. And I want to dance till I am very old.
You have been able to like expand your concept of dance and then movement and enrich that by your work with the community and all your experience, right? Awesome. Well, why don't we talk about your own methodology? Like you did a workshop at the East Point West Festival, and I got the privilege to had a
snapshot of that
exactly.
In Singapore.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't take it in the festival, but here I had that opportunity and it was great. So why don't you, I want to talk a little bit more about Laban, because I think he has great concepts that maybe not everybody knows about it. And also I think that would also help us link like dance and the and real life, you know, like how can we use those terms or switch from the dance field to the life, everyday life field, But you have a very, very interesting approach, and you have, I think, distilled very well those concepts and use them in your work, and because you work a lot with communities and also with dancers. I'm very interested in you telling us a little bit more about your own methodology and explain a little bit more and what you have found in working that way.
Yes, thank you for this question. I'm glad I have found a way to express myself by using knowledge that I've learned from fantastic teachers and masters such as Valerie Preston Dunlop, Rosemary Brandt, Alison Curtis-Jones, Melanie Clark, wonderful professors that all study and research, and this is a fantastic word, research, at Trinity Laban in London, plus other fantastic colleagues like Sylvie Robaldo in France, my friend Nunzia Tirelli in Switzerland, my friend Natasha Cesco in Australia. All of us have been experiencing this understanding of human movement through Laban perspective, which now we call in our contemporary world choreological studies. We've all understood that human movement is before everything. So for me, it's very easy now that I got the tools that Laban passed on through his research, through his obsession, I think, on dances, on movement. He was an architect as well. Yeah. So this has helped the way he codified things, the way he could give a symbology, Laban notation, to what dance is or to what human movement is in dance. So through these studies, one thing that our teachers would always tell us was, remember that you are not learning the lesson and you are a good student, but you are understanding concepts, gathering tools, and then through the tools you have a toolbox and you build your own understanding.
Yes.
And this concept has freed me and many other people from feeling that there's one lesson you have to learn it and that's it.
It's how it for,
exactly. So it's what I do is not about reproduction, is about composing through my toolbox the things that I've learned and using them in a context, creating a format. So my methodology sinks, of course, and grounds itself through history, through Laban, through the studies, through the fact that for me, I have a mission to pass in the present, to bring to the present the good things from the past. And I think this is what history is about. And we don't need to get stuck with the past, but if there's something that has worked really well in the past, I think we should cherish it and use it in the present and transmit it because it's good, it's valuable. So the things that I've learned through Laban are many, many, many. I can analyze movement, I can understand choreography and analyze choreography, I understand the space, how space movement relationship is. So in this scaffolding workshop, which is a creation that I was inspired to do since a few years ago, I basically took some of these tools from my toolbox that comes from Laban and applied them into embodiment of movement in groups. So I put together my interest on human relationships, because the tools that I'm using are specifically connected to human movement relationships, contact and improvisation dance form, and the dance world. And from the past, what Laban was already doing with his movement choirs, which were the first imprinting of what nowadays we can call flash mobs. Basically, with these tools, I discovered a way to enable people to feel moving and moved by the other bodies around them, and find also more of a fulfillment through the connection with other bodies, with the space that it shared, through a series of patterns that are identified in a scaffolding score. Through all this mechanism, basically an individual will experience itself or herself through the relationship with the others, and feel also fulfilled as a person. Mm-hmm. So here again is the beauty of human movement shared together through a process where there's also social components. And here the two social components that are very important for me are the individuality and the mutual support. Mm-hmm. The individuality is the fact that everyone is unique in this world, so even their movement is unique, and no one is better or worse than someone, but different, and this is important. And the mutuality is the fact that together we experience movement, we share some ideas, so we have a pathway, we're not completely lost, because sometimes it's important to have a framework, And with that framework, we dig into our experiencing of the embodiment in the now. So my scaffolding process workshop, which includes the scaffolding score, and which can be diluted in a pill, such as the class you took here in Singapore this week, which was very short. Mm-hmm. It's a ongoing open process, and it's very reflective again of the fact that I don't say just this is it, because I always discover something new through the process. I often change the way I prepare people to explore the score itself, which is really a phrase of phases that we're gonna encounter all together. And it is also the reflection of a moment of co-creation with the people that are present in the studio. So I can have very experienced contact dancers, mm-hmm. which really can take the maximum advantage of the movement relationship, because we use a lot of touch, contact, weight, proximity, and these are all connected to contact improvisation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it can be for professional dancers with less of a background in contact. It can be for pre-professionals. It has been done with people of different ages in the community and people with different abilities in the community. I had the possibility to really enjoy people on wheelchair doing it. And again, it is not just about the dance, it is not just about the steps, it is not just about knowing exactly how to give or receive weight. It's about your state. At the end, I think what I am holding in terms of holding space is giving people a recipe. You have the ingredients, you have the tools, and then you can make your own journey. As long as the people are present and willing to trust the process, something is manifested. And that's the pleasure of sharing energy of being together through a dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like inhabiting your own body, and then from there you can do lots of
share
things.
It with others as well.
Exactly.
Not feeling lonely. And this society again lacks completely touch. Lacks a lot of holding each other. Yes.
And so these days,
And so there's something very fascinating about the fact that you will become, a person when dancing with someone can become a chair for someone.
Yeah.
Someone can sit on you, or you can become a table. You can use your own creativity and through movement and through really listening to what is happening, you can have a great experience, because you are not thinking about yourself in terms of your idea of yourself in a daily life society, but you are being yourself through the embodiment. I think dance has something really special to say on that again. So Mai is only one way, and this is one of the formats that I do. I also like really to work with people that want to work just on their own body, and that's your intrapersonal relationship with yourself. Mm-hmm. So there I again can apply any of the interest or the things that I know through the Laban perspective and choreological studies and guide people through the exploration of their own self, their own embodiment, and maybe find some new tools to dance or to perform and to be fulfilled with their movement. So it's important not to take things for granted also. Yeah. Also, the smallest thing is relevant.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's
there's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And I'm also writing a document about the scaffolding process that will be published. So, but I also see that as a starting point, because maybe in a few years I will find something extra to develop through this course. So, yeah. But it's good to start and to trace what we do. And I think the theoretical understanding of dance and movement, which is the precious thing that I got through these studies, it's really can really enable to support the work of an artist, because sometimes we just do things, but to name what you see, as we would say as choreologist, or to name what you do is relevant, and to put that in words is a testimonial. And so it's important to trace what we do as well.
Definitely, yes. And that's also how you could see how your process is developing and how it grows and where it goes and the direction that it takes by itself as well. Yeah, totally.
And it's also a great tool for self-reflection and, and to clear up what is just in your mind sometimes.
Yeah, it's testing.
I've been presenting this scaffolding workshop really in many, many places. And Australia, in this sense, has been very generous. Like, scaffolding went to Perth, Sydney at least twice, Newcastle, Melbourne, Canberra, of course. It has been presented also at the Think Embodying Moving Minds Festival of Embodiment in Melbourne last year. It makes people feel good.
That's what I wanted to ask. What do you think, because you work with both dancers, like professional dancers, but also with non-professional dancers, what do you think is the benefits for both communities, let's say?
Well, as
or what do you expect with your work to do? Like, what would you like to be the impact and where you are after?
Well, what I noticed is that this so my methodology is something that I can apply in different contexts. The scaffolding process core itself is a format that is inside my methodology. So the methodology is wider. It's not just that. That is a way of working. But in itself, it has so many elements that can be really expanded. I can see many ways to move around that process. What I noticed was that when I first started, it was a trial. And I was in a context, I gave a workshop and I was with other colleagues. And they said to me, look, this is good. There's something good. You should go further with this. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go further. And there I realized that every contact improvisation community in Australia, I also went to New Zealand as well, that did it, where it was at the end of the process, everyone was really grateful, feeling supported, feeling loved, and happy. So I understood that this little idea that I had, when put it together, allowed people to feel good.
Yeah, I feel like when I did it, I felt grounded. Like my movement were coming out of a place of presence, as you said. And yeah, being really grounded because you made us explore our structure, like
The body.
From the bones. And then it's like from a very solid place, you know. And then from there, everything unfolds very like easily. Yeah. Yeah. And then I think that empowers a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like your movement is not coming from the form or like from the outside, but more from the inside out, really.
Yeah.
And that gives an stability that we don't find it everywhere.
Yes. And then you pointing another important aspect here, which is a strong connection that I made, especially in these last years, with what we call a somatic approach. Mm-hmm. And this also comes from the fact that I am a very, I crave to know, I crave to try, and I like to be a student and study with other people. And in my journey in these last 5 years, I got to study with other wonderful practitioners. And one of these is Bonnie Bainbridge-Cohen. Mm-hmm. And with her, we talk about BMC. And BMC, body-mind centering, is the somatic way to understand the self, which for me is a strong connection with the elements that we study in movement through choreological studies, mm-hmm. love and perspective, mm-hmm. because movement is composed by 5 elements.
Yeah.
Body,
yeah.
And here is the somatic approach,
yeah.
Relationships,
mm-hmm.
space,
mm-hmm.
actions, what the body does,
mm-hmm.
and dynamic qualities, mm-hmm. the way we use energy. I can talk about all these elements, and inside they have my other elements.
Yeah.
So when I met Bonnie, she gave me something more to add on this idea of body that I had from the chronological studies. I could deepen in more my understanding of anatomy. As a dance artist and teacher, I've studied anatomy since many years.
Yeah.
You have to know what the body is made of and how it works. So I did biomechanics and anatomy of the dance. Calais Germain is a classic book that you would study. I studied with physiotherapists. But when I met Bonnie and BMC, the approach is more intuitive. And for me, as an artist, I like to have the creativity aspect, the intuition aspect very alive. And the way we approach embodiment and the somatics of it had something more clear and special that I could understand and put in my work. In order to help others to experience what I have been exploring. So everything that I do, it's filtered by my personal experience and pass it on. So another important thing that I say, I do not believe there's something really new in this existence. The more I go on, the more I see similarities.
Right.
But what interests me is the way we co-create something by knowing maybe same laws. It's like having a recipe and having the same ingredients, but the way you are going to put the ingredients together or in one after the other is the way a work or a person can find his own voice. It's like having all the colors to make a painting. You have the same colors, but the way you're going to express them is through you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this individuality comes back again. So learning from others and then melting that knowledge in your own process through your perspective and understanding creates an extra pathway. So combining that as the elements of somatic approach has helped me even more to build on this subject, on this process, because I am a dancer, I am a mover before being a dancer. I need to take care more of my body and know what my body does. So I think that it's valuable to give people the understanding of that. So that's the integration also. And people can understand and say, oh, yes. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, yeah, what you're saying, it's right. So I was talking a lot about the internal structure of the body, mm-hmm. which is our internal scaffolding system. In relationship of working with other people, that out of you can create a constellation, a external structure, a scaffolding that can help you explore your movement. So in real essence, this is what is the process. But you have to start from yourself, mm-hmm. understanding yourself in order to go out in space, in the world, and amongst other movers to explore the movement relationship with others. So that has been clustered as well in the process.
Have you created any dance with your...
That's the other aspect of scaffolding process. There's absolutely space for this process to be a performative act, which most probably would go under the name or frame of instant choreography, mm-hmm. because we do have a structure, we do have a beginning, a middle, a evolution, a retrograding, and a fade out into an end. There is definitely, and I've been exploring that at the Whopper University in the dance department in Perth 2 years ago. I've been exploring this with the students there. We have what we call a triadic perspective of creating, performing, and appreciating. Mm. So even amongst the participants, we could have a sharing moment, which is actually a act of performance. Mm. I was going to do this during this year, but it is now postponed. But yes, it's one of my desires to see how this score could be performative. But it's still there. So for the moment, it is a studio-based mm-hmm. sharing. Mm-hmm. I don't know when and if it might become a performance. Yeah.
Okay, wow. Thanks for all the information. We are getting towards the end, but I wanted to ask you before we finish this, like, after all this,
yeah,
what moved Debra? Cormovida is that moves us from the inside, that really touch our fibers, you know, like mm-hmm. something inside that makes you do things, actually go into action, no? Or going to feeling sometimes, reflect on things.
Hmm.
So what moved you? What makes you do what you do?
You know?
Why do you sell the love for movement and
yeah.
your work with the community and with the dancers?
Well, since I was a child, everyone could see that I couldn't stop dancing. So it's something really embedded there. And I really don't know where it comes from. But when they saw me 3 years old dancing, and I would watch television and see the dancers on screen, mm-hmm. and I was just mesmerized. I would be in love. There was something in me that was calling me to see the beauty of dance. I think that my idea of dance and movement is a sense of beauty and expressed pleasure of the ephemerality of movement, because we move in one moment and the movement is gone. It's something that you can't capture, but there's something magic in that. And as a child, it was very, very clear. I remember performing and feeling this strong power. It gave me power. Nowadays, it is still that when I get to perform. I feel like I did what I have to do. I just feel this is it. This I have to do this. So it's a way of being myself. And I also have to say that for several years in my life, I abandoned dance. And dance came back in my life as a joke. I thought I would never dance anymore. And it just came back. And when it came back, I realized that the years that I was not dancing were probably the darkest ones in my life. Mm. So dance helps me to be more who I am. It's an expression of the self that I need. And so when I see other people dancing as a form of being, as an expression of the self, I am just with them and I feel very happy because it's like magic. And it's about our energy. The body is beautiful, and dance, as often even in other contexts, being used as a sacred act mm-hmm. of being. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of spirituality, I mm-hmm. do believe. I'm quite a spiritual person. I didn't go to that realm, but also Laban was like that. And I don't know, it to name so much Laban, sometimes it's like a mantra, Laban, Laban. But I read some of the thoughts he had, and I so agree with him. So even in the past, people were thinking same thing. So there's a passion, right. There's a drive. And I feel accomplished when I do what I have to do, and I have to dance and dance with others, especially. Mm. I don't want to dance alone. I like to dance with others. So again, here is about human relationships mm-hmm. through the body, through movement, which is dance and expression of the self, mm. and in an ongoing journey through our existence, where I think a body can always say something beautiful and important for everyone at any age. Mm. So dance is for all, also not in terms of just accessibility, disability, mm. but also age and time. Mm-hmm. That's another mm-hmm. great point that I want to say. Mm. And professional dance can be at any level of age, which is something important again for us, for me also to say and declare. Mm. Because society has a bit of yeah. trends yeah. and mainstream is tendency more projected to very young age and big virtuosism,
yeah.
which is not the only way. Movement can be highly virtuosistic without
right.
necessarily the need of doing Able something body, super
right? yeah.
Super complicated. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it has equal value. So yeah, there are a few elements that make me move.
Yeah. Okay, there is another question I like to ask people, and is what do you think that the world needs the most right now?
Peace.
How would you define peace?
A state of being present to the self and really it has to do with the possibility of feeling fully embodied, feeling that interesting vibe of energy that you have under your skin when you just stop and listen to yourself to a moment. So that has to do again with movement, like with the body, being present through the body. So moving is good, and the world needs that sense of peace of being yourself mm-hmm. in respect of yourself, and so forth in respect of the other. And the acknowledgement that everything is connected to different degrees. Right. But we're all part of a big dance. We're part of a big dance, a dance of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're moving in this existence. But certainly a bit of more peace and, yeah, of course, that goes with love.
Contentment.
Yeah, that sense of being alive and being mm-hmm. very happy of being alive. And also, present, really present to what it is happening now, or rather than going on pilot mode. Yeah.
Of future, yeah.
Yeah.
Creating anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think this is what I have prepared for us to talk, but if you feel like there is anything else you wanna share or
I am just really grateful of this opportunity to express myself through you. And yes, I just thank you very much. And I'm very content with our nice chat.
In peace. Yeah. Are you in peace right now? No, Deborah, I thank you for being part of this, for accepting my invitation. For me, it's
my
now
pleasure.
A process of collecting stories, collecting ways of working. I'm recharging, I feel like reborn, yes, in a way with my dance as well. I feel like also dance could be a very isolated realm sometimes, like
yes.
just dancers see dancers, you know, and we hang out with dancers all the time and things like that. And sometimes we get very not understood in the way we wanted to. And I feel like dance and life are so related,
yes,
that we need to create more bridges for people who are, I mean, I expect that people who are not dancers can listen to this and feel inspired and not just in like being dancers and want to dance,
no,
but
indeed.
Like wanting to move and understand more about the human movement, as you were saying, and how that relates with their own wellness and ways of being in this world. Yeah. And
absolutely.
And also I feel like if we all understand that we are part of this big dance,
yeah,
which is life in general, we can bring or put more great things over the table, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Certainly we need to release and let go through the body,
yeah.
release and let
yeah.
go.
Because yeah.
again, it's an accumulation of energy, and dance can be very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people want to go to the gym and do other type of sports, that's wonderful too.
Yeah.
Or maybe go for a horse ride and stay connected to an animal. Another point that maybe it's important for me to remark is that I have also very, very intense and strong connection with nature.
Yeah.
Because we are nature through the body.
Right.
Like everything in this world is connected. We breathe air, we are chemically constructed as natural elements. So also the fact that we can be dancing also outdoors or in nature, or, you know, being inspired by it, it's another important aspect that I use in my practice,
mm-hmm.
in my contemporary classes, in my contact classes, in my performances, in the scaffolding process, or in the embodiment of the now process. That's very valuable. And yes, I think also this is another important element that people nowadays is getting more and more aware of.
Yeah.
Because we've ruined a bit the ecosystem, and we need to.
Right. I feel like our
connection.
Culture has like prioritized the body a lot in a certain way, but that way is also like the way of controlling the body. Like as you were saying, like yeah, going to the gym, doing things. Not that there is something wrong with going to a gym. Of course not, and getting fit, and I love that too. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, we all want to look good. However, I mean,
yeah,
there's aesthetic. We can talk more about that. That's not the issue. But what I think is, like, sometimes people don't realize that exactly the whole nature, the whole universe that the body is. And it's not just about giving it a form or shaping it in a way that it does things that make you adapt to the system, but also it's like is your uniqueness, is your singularity, is it's your sensitivity, is also your is the poetic way in which you are in this world.
Yes.
Somehow. So I think that that's the part that dance for me can grasp.
Is the artistic form.
Right, exactly. That any other form has somehow, you know.
And no.
Like, you can ask all these questions, like, what am I doing this for? What is what I want? Why am I shaping my body in this way? Why do I move in this way? Mm. What that movement express?
Yeah.
Why I tone my body in this way and not in other, because I express something else, you know. So
yeah,
I think it's also a way of bringing awareness of a part of the body that it's not so trendy or
absolutely
that? You know, like,
yeah,
because the body is trendy, I feel like, you know, nowadays everybody talks about the body. Maybe before, nobody approached the body
different.
It has always been there, of course, because we are bodies, but from a time to now, it's like it's very on the top of conversations.
Yeah.
And we could think like, oh yeah, we all take care of our bodies, or we are all in charge of our bodies, but really there is a part of the body that that maybe doesn't have a place in society, because it's also very uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also very, sometimes we don't understand, because it has to do with the energy, because it has to do with other conversations, I think, other discourses that are not so trendy or mainstream, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying. I don't know if it makes sense of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. I'm absolutely getting that.
Yeah.
That's why we do what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, we don't take things for granted. Even the smallest movement, the smallest action can have a strong impact in a dance. And it's a way of being alive. Movement is being alive. So
yeah, exactly. That's my hope, that people listening to this can reach that part.
Yeah, maybe they try to take an improvisation class or a dance class,
or maybe
and
watching more, or maybe reading more about it, or at least
watch
listening.
A show.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also something very nice of attending a performance.
Yeah, right.
These people are performing for you, and that's
right.
A great act of generosity,
right,
that I think sometimes we forget.
It's not appreciated.
And there's hard work behind that. And yes, and so it's important to keep moving in whichever way we find better for ourselves, but to make that as authentic as possible,
right,
and as connected as possible to ourselves, as present as possible, and always with a bit of wonder, a bit of
curiosity
and really in the presence of the present moment.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I think that was a really, really nice conversation.
It was
fantastic.
Thank you
again.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Debra. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
'Really love this conversation. I think you now got the big picture of what dance is, can be, and how it can impact our lives. Debra is such an eloquent artist. I hope you enjoy listening to her as much as I did having this conversation with her. It was actually after a long day in Singapore, so I'm very happy we still found the time to do it. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for being here, for listening all the way through to Con Movida, and please let me know in the comments if there was something that moved you from our conversation. Please, please share your thoughts. Let's start a conversation. Perhaps you can also let me know what you'd like to hear more about. And stay tuned for more episodes. Next time, I have another very special guest. We're going to talk about yoga and the yoga industry. So from Indonesia, beautiful Gilead now, I send you a big hug. Please stay tuned for more. And let's continue the journey. Stay tuned for more episodes of Con Movida, your new podcast to make you feel, move, and create. Bye-bye.